Recording audio. This is Taiwan Special, part three for the week. Yesterday I said something, and I'm going to get into Taiwan's politics, but I said something just a little bit yesterday, and I'm going to stand by this. I said that based on Barna's research, George Barna, barna.org, if you are a Christian who left Sunday morning because you wanted to learn more about Jesus, you weren't disbelieving Jesus, you didn't want to go knowingly live a life of sin, so to speak, you love Jesus, and Sunday morning you had ethical issues with it, and so you left that. But, you know, I mean, George Barna, back in, what, 2004, 2005, he had a book called, was it Revolution? He'd done research documenting people that were leaving Sunday morning for that reason. Now, the Sunday morning thing, I mean, that Sunday morning thing goes back to the tradition of the Pope who would appoint and depose kings. They've had the run-of-the-mill, lots and lots and lots of unchecked power with no accountability. They talk about accountability, but no one holds them accountable, you know, as a whole. They're where the accountability stops. They don't have a peer holding them accountable. The denomination does. Okay, who holds the denomination accountable? Other denominations. Okay, who holds all of them accountable? Okay, you know, this is the problem. It's a top-down thing. And it's not ultimate, circular, endless. It's not like, why is America's government the best government? Because of the endless appeal system. Checks and balances. I mean, even if the Supreme Court overturns your decision, you can still go to the legislature and try to get a law passed. You know, you can pursue justice forever in America's system. There's always another place to go to. It can go around and around and around. It's an endless appeal system. And so there is no such justice and accountability in the Sunday morning structure. It has an end. It ends with the guys at the top somewhere, whether it's the Pope, the denomination, whatever. And they have enjoyed this zero accountability. And I it could be happening. Someone could take George Barna's research from his book Revolution. He calls them revolutionaries. They're documented, or it's his research, whatever that is. It's research where he's found millions of Christians leaving Sunday morning because they love Jesus and they want to know more about Jesus and stuff, and Sunday morning was getting in their way. And so many, you know, that was his research. So many times Christians leave and then someone gets up on the pulpit and says, "You're leaving because you want to get away from Jesus and you want to just do whatever you want." I'd have to ask the legal beagles, but that's a worthwhile question to ask. Is there a case here? And the only reason I think there could be is because they have enjoyed unchecked zero accountability as a whole, for far too long. And when you don't have accountability, you get sloppy. And I'm going to stand, I said that in the last one, and I that's not a deviation, that's not off topic, because that's been my life here in Asia. I've been in Taiwan, and I was talking to Royu, this kid, I said, my problem with Sunday morning is, we were talking about the 23rd Psalm, he'd never heard of it. He's a new Christian. New Christian having prophetic dreams, wants to do the right thing, wants to love his parents more. Wants to honor his teachers, even though they yell at him, because he's, you know, teachers, Taiwanese teachers yell at everybody. He wants to do these good things. He's regenerate, and he's never heard of the 23rd Psalm. There is evidence of the Holy Spirit doing stuff. This is not influence of Bible. This is God's Spirit alive in this kid. And it breaks all the traditional, typical rules. And as I was telling him, I said, you know, we were talking about what a shepherd is. A shepherd has a rod and he has a staff. A rod is for beating the dangerous animals. The staff has this big crook on the end, which makes it gentle for moving sheep. If the sheep goes the wrong way, the shepherd's going to push him back. He's not going to let him just do whatever he wants. But it's going to be gentle and it's looking after to help that sheep. It's a shepherd's gentle way. I said, sheep are really stupid. If they fall over, they can't get back up, but they fall on their side. And he starts laughing. And everybody, it's like, I mean, sheep are really pathetic animals. Jesus is our shepherd, and he's so tender with us. And I said, at first, you know, I've asked people, do you know what the shepherd's rod is for? They say for beating the sheep. I said, no, a shepherd would not beat his own sheep. I mean, a shepherd who would beat his own sheep, that's mental, man. But maybe that's Sunday morning a lot of the time. And I said, my problem with the Taiwanese pastors, Asian pastors, Chinese church pastors in America, generally, the general norm, in my experience, and in other people's books published about this, shame culture and Christianity, all that, you know, Eastern shame culture. I think one of them was Losing Face, Finding Grace, or Losing Shame, Finding Grace. There was one book. In all this, these pastors are not shepherding. They're behaving more like mafia bosses. They've got their little family, and nobody questions them. And there's a lot of La Casa Nostra's type vendetta stuff that goes on. A lot of that in Asia. They're very big into gangs like that. Very, very, very much. You could look that up. And that culture goes into the Sunday morning church. I said, it's very sad. They're supposed to be pastors, but they don't act like shepherds. It's very sad. It's very, very sad. So I've been over here and I refuse to participate in that. America's only wave the white flag, and I've had to study Bible on my own. I had a Bible degree in college. I know how to read that thing. I study Bible on my own. I read it every day. I've done so, missed maybe 7 days when I stayed up all night. Maybe one or 2 days since 1999. Other than that, I open it and read it every day, and it changed my life. And so this being in this environment has forced me into that. And I stand by my words with that. Now, I said that I would talk about Taiwanese fallout politics. Taiwan has, I don't know if that's going to be all that. Is that all that interesting? Okay, well, I just say Taiwan has interesting politics. And I really do not know what is going to happen. That's the thing about Taiwan. They've got me baffled. I'm typically able to kind of anticipate politics to some extent. But I have no clue what's going to happen with Taiwanese politics. It's full of surprises. It's really fast. Well, what's happening is, see, the premier, my former mayor, it's like a super secretary. He wanted to resign. If he did that, he'd be able to run for president easily. But the president won't accept his resignation. It's like in Taiwan, like if you're an executive, you can't quit if the company won't let you, or it's difficult. So that's a thing. Okay. But I mean, I think it's good for him because it keeps his career going. His career continues. Looks good for his career. I think it's good. But it looks like she might. I mean, I don't know. But people are saying it looks like she might try to use her power so that he can't run for president against her in 2020. And she's kind of becoming unpopular because she hasn't been sticking up for Taiwan. Not in always. Like she could have done more. Like there was a lot of disinformation coming from the media. And she pulled a Bush, you know, Bush Senior, Bush Junior. She did what the Bush presidents did. And that's to not respond. She just wouldn't answer. Rush Limbaugh asked W on the radio, Mr. President, there's a lot of people saying stuff that just isn't true. Why don't you hit back? Why don't you correct it? Why don't you just say, no, that's not true. This is, or just say what the truth is, you know, from the Oval Office. Why don't you answer it in some way? And you know, Bush, well, Rush, you know, I think that history will be the judge of that. And, you know, I believe in letting history be the judge. And I'd rather take the higher road. And that's how the Bushes have been. And Limbaugh has said it, and so have many other people, that the Democrats just kept saying one thing after another about the Bushes and they wouldn't answer. And that's why so many people believed that Obama was going to build something that lasts. Like, they really believed that Obama was going to make a difference, and Obama left office and Trump came along and washed it all away with a stroke of a pen. And a lot of people were just totally surprised by that. And a lot, that whole process, like, why is Trump here? Because the Bushes wouldn't answer the Democrats. Agree with them or not, more people believed Obama than would have if the Bushes had just answered. And there wouldn't be such surprise. So look at that however you want to, but not answering is not a wonderful thing to do. And Taiwan's president, I know that I'm 30 seconds over, 35 over. Taiwan's president would not answer things that were simply unfactual, things that were simply not true, lies that were being told. She would not answer them. And now they're even talking about that. They're saying, well, we should have gone to social media to correct disinformation. A lot of people are talking about this, including the new chair of the party, since the president stepped down as chair of the party. She's only the president of the country now. So, and she did that because of the elections. Okay. So, she's unpopular now. I don't know how the next elections are going to go. If they do a really good job as a party, I think they'll be fine. The premier has secured job, you know, he's got job security. He's not really in jeopardy. But if she can't fix what she did wrong in the next 2 years, and if she doesn't let him run, if she plays the party power thing and doesn't let him run, then their party's probably going to lose. And I really wouldn't want that for them. They've been good people in a lot of ways. And what would happen is, you'd get this party that, you know, this KMT Nationalist Party, it's got a lot of problems. It's got a lot of dirty money. The speaker in my city, his name was Lee Chun-jiao. You could say Speaker Lee. He, you know, like the other party had the majority. And some people swung their vote and voted for him, this minority establishment guy in kind of a politically, you know, political party, rebel party type of province, elected this minority nationwide mainstream kind of GOP-ish candidate for the speakership. And that shouldn't have happened. It'd be like Republicans controlling the House and then them electing Nancy Pelosi from the Democrats as the speaker. Like, that happened. And there was enough evidence to get past a grand jury or to spark an investigation of vote buying. Like, he paid millions of dollars in local currency to get those votes. At least there was enough for an investigation. Like, that was going on. And so there were investigators, and he had 8 suitcases at the airport with ticket, one-way ticket to China. And he was just going to go run over for a quick visit. Right. And the police stopped him. But then he went back and resumed his position as speaker and wouldn't step down. And then controlled by his party, the national government started investigating the mayor, who refused to go to the city council meetings and therefore rendered them invalid because the mayor is supposed to be there. So this supposedly, purportedly corrupt speaker resumed his work when the police stopped and wouldn't let him leave on a one-way ticket to China with 8 suitcases. He went back to work as speaker while he was under investigation for vote buying, trying to get laws passed. The mayor said, no, I'm not going to attend. And that removes the quorum. You can't pass any laws. And this supposedly corrupt politician's party that controlled the country started to investigate that mayor. Well, now that mayor is the premier. And that other party, that purportedly corrupt party, would win if the premier or the president, either one, if their party doesn't win the presidency next time. And that party would be in control. And stories like that are all over the place. They're constant. It's an epidemic having stories like that from this political party. And there's some with the other party. There's always corrupt politicians everywhere. There's corrupt Democrats and Republicans. I really wouldn't say that Republicans or Democrats are more corrupt one than the other. Especially with the late McCain, I mean, how does a congressman go in on a congress's money and become so wealthy as he is? That's a question a lot of people have. But, okay, those politics aside, this party is more known for corruption in Taiwan. And they're also known for taking steps that would end up somehow or another helping China engage in a hostile takeover of Taiwan and slowly convert Taiwan into what Hong Kong is. And so we could be looking at a supposedly, seemingly pro-China soft takeover party. Or if China were to invade, possibly surrender type of party. If this ruling party now can't get unified. And so I really have no clue how this is going to go. I really, like, typically I can see stuff coming, but I smell a surprise coming. I really, really, really smell a surprise coming. Well, that's the bonus for the week. A little bit long today. Love y'all. See you next week.